Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. I pray that you're having a blessed day. We've been studying the Beatitudes over the past several weeks. We've been slowly working our way through Jesus's great teaching from the mountain called the Beatitudes, found in Matthew chapter 5. We have been in pursuit of happiness, and we have learned, happy are the humble, happy are the sad, happy are the meek, happy are the hungry, happy are the merciful, happy are the holy, and happy are the peacemakers. Today we come to our final paradox, happy are the persecuted. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at the Seed Christian Fellowship at 9 a.m. Pacific time to worship. If you can't join us in person, which is at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, you can always join us online. You can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and join us with our live stream. We're looking at the last paradox of the Beatitudes. Happy are the persecuted. When in your life have you been happy to be persecuted? Of all the Beatitudes, this one seems the most contrary. To be happy, you're harassed. To be happy that you're persecuted. Before we turn to God's living word, let us come to the throne of the living God in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God of all grace and truth, hold us close during our times of trials and persecution. Remind us of that where the real treasures lie. They lie in you in heaven. Let us stand on your words of truth and love. Amen. Grab your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, I'd gladly send you a Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll send you a Bible. We're in Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. The reading today will come from the New International Version. Listen for God's Word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now I'd like to take a moment and just read Eugene Peterson's verses 10 through 12 in the Message Bible. I love Eugene Peterson's writing. He's written a lot of wonderful books. Here is his message, verses 10 through 12 in chapter 5. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit you. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer, even, for though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Wow. Eugene Peterson wrote a book called Christ Plays in 10,000 Places. In his book, he had a powerful statement about the persecution Christianity has endured. This is a quote from his book, Christ Plays in 10,000 Places. Quote, 1,800 years or so of Hebrew history, capped by a full exposition in Jesus Christ, tell us that God's revelation of himself is rejected far more often than it is accepted. is dismissed far more by people than embraced by it, and has been either attacked or ignored by every major culture and civilization in which it has given its witness. Magnificent Egypt, fierce Assyria, beautiful Babylon, artistic Greece, political Rome, the Enlightenment of France, Nazi Germany, the Renaissance of Italy, the Marxist Russia, Maoist China, and the pursuit of happiness in America. The community of God's people has survived in all of these cultures and civilizations, but always as a minority, always marginal to the mainstream, never statistically significant. Now, that's a powerful statement. I believe the climax of the Beatitudes is found here in verses 10 through 12. The sobering truth is that all who faithfully follow or try to live a life of the first seven Beatitudes will be guaranteed to experience the eighth. The reality is that those who live righteously will be persecuted. Let me say that again. The reality is that those who live righteously will be persecuted. Holiness, godliness, and righteousness will generate hostility, antagonism, and persecution. What Jesus is saying is that to live a kingdom life will mean rejection. In the final Beatitude, Jesus is telling us, happy are the harassed, the persecuted, and rejected because of my righteousness. The good news is persecution is given. Purification is a gift. Promised is God is with us. Those are our points. Persecution is a given if you're a Christian. Purification is a gift. And what is promised is God is with us. Persecution is given. Let's think about that for a moment. The night Jesus was betrayed, he gathered the disciples together and he taught them in John 15, verses 18 through 19. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. John 15, 18 to 19. I think of Peter sitting at the feet of Jesus the day Jesus taught the Beatitudes. Maybe that is why he wrote in his first letter to the church these powerful words in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory of God rests on you. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 14. In his letter to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul warned the church of these words. Listen to what he says. So that no one would be unsettled by these trials, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Wow. Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness is right living, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The Greek word for when, hōtan, conveys the idea of at some point in time, all Christians can and should expect persecution because of their right living. Every faithful believer will have some resistance and ridicule from the world, while others, for God's own purposes, well, they'll endure extreme suffering and even death. This doesn't mean we seek out persecution, but neither should we be surprised when it comes. Let me say that again. We don't seek out persecution as a Christian, but we don't need to be surprised when it comes. In fact, while we can verify all the facts, church history and tradition will tell us that the disciples fared no better than their leader. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, we are told of all the disciples but John gave their lives for the gospel. Listen, James was beheaded. It is said that on his way to be martyred, his accuser was so impressed by his courage and conviction that he repented of his sins and committed himself to Christ and was beheaded alongside James the Apostle. Philip was scourged, thrown into prison, and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a sword. James the Lesser was stoned to death. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down at his own request because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord. Andrew, Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot were all crucified. Andrew was left hanging on a cross for 3 days. Bartholomew was beaten with clubs, filleted alive, and crucified. Thomas was speared to death, and John was exiled to an island called Patmos, where he died as a prisoner. Wow. Now that's some really joyful news today as you're listening to this. But all of the disciples gave their lives for the good news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Jesus never taught a prosperity gospel, but rather a persecution gospel. He didn't teach that following him was going to be a picnic, easy street, or a religion of convenience and comfort. He taught that in order to follow him, we will have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. The cross was an instrument of torture and persecution. In The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer stated in the opening of his book a powerful line. If you've never read The Cost of Discipleship, I would really encourage you to read it. It's a powerful book. In his opening lines, he says, when Christ calls a man, and I'll say when Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids them to come and die. Bonhoeffer gave his life to stop Hitler. The Apostle Paul told his young protege Timothy, indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Point number one, persecution is a given. Not a real popular point, but it does explain a lot of things that we face and endure. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I can guarantee there's someone today that's listening that's going through some persecution, some struggles, somebody who has been misunderstood or lied to or lied about. Know that God is with you. God will never leave you or forsake you. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon up at the top. Write your prayer, and our prayer team would pray for you. I've seen some wonderful miracles and healings and just a lot of grace and prayer. We're called to be a people of prayer. Go to our website and click on the prayer icon. Point number one, and it's a tough point, persecution is a given. Not a real popular point, but it does explain a lot of things that we face and endure. Point number two, the word persecute means to afflict or harass constantly so as to injure or distress, oppress cruelly for reasons of religion, politics, or race. Have you ever asked yourself, why in the world is this happening to me? Have you ever struggled through a difficult time? Have you ever gone through heartache, regret, woe, grief, or anguish because of your love for God? Maybe you have struggled within your own family, at work, or in school because you are a Christian. When I was going through a very difficult time in my life, I put in many calls to my spiritual director. One day, he shared with me a verse from Romans chapter 5. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote those words in chapter 5 for me. Listen to what he says in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. I highlighted that verse in my Bible. I wrote it down and I started memorizing it. Suffering produces endurance, or endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope will never disappoint us. I don't know what you're suffering with, but I know that God is with you. I had been called to a church and had my job description written into my contract. I was supposed to develop a second worship service. Well, a contemporary worship service. On the outside, it was all approved, but deep within the congregation, there were some very angry people who did not want drums or guitars or microphones in their sanctuary. That pretty much rules out our entire worship team that would be here. I got really ugly. I would say it got really ugly at church during those times, so ugly that the leadership team voted to go backwards and cancel the contemporary worship service in order to please those who were so angry. Prior to the vote to go back, before that, there were rumors and lies and things told about me. I was persecuted, all because I was doing my job and doing what I was hired to do. And really, I thought all for the glory of God. I waited a year before I changed anything. Within the first 3 months, the contemporary worship service did just what we had hoped it would do, draw in the neighborhood people from the new housing developments. However, for whatever reason, the established, more traditional members were not happy. After 6 months, the leadership voted to stop the new and successful service. I think by this time we were worshiping 150 people during the contemporary service. I had to quote this verse every day to myself. I had to quote this beatitude all day long. I was just trying to do what God had called me to do, but it was unpopular. Forget the world. It wasn't popular in the church. What did I learn? I learned that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. What a powerful promise. I would ask you to write that verse down, Romans 5, chapter 5, 1 through 5. Dr. Billy Graham told a story of a friend of his who went through a depression in the 1920s, losing a job, a fortune, a wife, and a home. His friend was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he tenaciously held on to his faith, even though he was depressed and cast down by his circumstances. One day, in the midst of his depression, he stopped to watch some men doing some stonework on a huge church in the city. One was busy chiseling a triangular piece of stone. "What are you doing to do what?" he asked the guy that was chiseling. He says, "What are you going to do with that?" And the workman stopped and pointed to a little opening up near the top of the spire. "See that little opening up there near the spire?" he said. "I'm shaping this down here so it will fit up there." Billy Graham's friend said that tears filled his eyes as he walked away from the workman, for it seemed that God had spoken to him personally through the workman, telling him that God was shaping him for heaven through the earthly ordeal. I don't know what you're struggling with. I say that almost every week. I can't see you. I can't look in your eyes. I can't see the tears or the pain. But I know that God is shaping you. He's working in you. It's the hope of glory. Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You see, God is shaping us down here so that we fit up there. Whatever it is that you suffer with, know that God is at work. Suffering produces that endurance. Endurance produces the character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and that's God's promise from God's Word. You can stand on this. You can take it to the bank. Point one, persecution is given. Ridicule and despisement and all those things that come with it, that's a given. Purification is a gift. Persecution will purify you. You will have to choose what side you are on. After the leadership at this church I was serving, after the leadership voted to go backwards, I was really, really disappointed. But I knew that the whole situation got through Jesus' nail-scarred hands. A lot of times when I'm going through a difficult time, I take my left hand and hold it up, and I push my fingers, my right hand, and push my fingers through try to push them through my hand, and I say, "Okay, God, I know everything is going through your nail-scarred hands." I did a lot of talking with people, and a year later, the time was right to bring back the contemporary worship service. at a different time slot, but we opened it up. I wasn't sure it would work, but it did. And it's still going 12 years later. We ended up doing three worship services in the morning, one at 8:30, one at 9:30, and one at 11. And God was being glorified through that persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Of the eight Beatitudes, this one has a double blessing. We are told that we are blessed in verse 10, and in verse 11, a double blessing is promised to those who are persecuted because of Christ. That's not exactly the kind of good news that we're hoping for, but it is something to remember when times are tough. Somewhere in all this mess of suffering and persecution is a double blessing. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the three young Hebrew men called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whom the king renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three of these men were thrown into a fiery furnace. But when the king looked, he did not see three men in a fire, he saw four. The promise for us in this story and in our own persecution is that Christ is near to us when we're going through our times of trials, persecution, heartache, and grief. When I accepted the call to my last church, I had no idea that I was going to be such a heartache for me. I knew that in the midst of all the insults and persecution that God was with me. Stay the course, Dave. I'm working here even though you can't see me. I'm in the fiery furnace with you. You're going to be blessed. Stand firm. That's what I kept writing down. That's what I kept hearing God say. Stay the course. I'm working here even though you can't see me. I'm going to encourage you to stay the course. God is working. What came out of that call was a deeper resolution within my heart and soul to seek God's righteousness. God had plans for me and for my future. I just couldn't see it at the time. I resolved the problem in the church. Everyone was happy, well, except for me. God called me away and moved me back to California. Persecution is given, point number one. Persecution brings purification, and it's a gift, point number two. Persecution's promise is that God is with us, point number three. So what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home, Pastor Dave. So what does all this talk about the Beatitudes have to do with us? Some 2,000 years after Christ gave that Sermon on the Mount. We're all broken in different ways, and we are blessed in different ways. We are blessed and we are broken. It is in our brokenness that Christ is glorified. It is in our brokenness that others see Christ in us. It is in our brokenness that we get an opportunity to become more and more like Christ in the fire and the furnace of heartache and grief. Have you ever heard of the two of my favorite friends, Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer? On October 16, 1555, Ridley and Latimer were burned at the stake for their faith in Christ. They were judged guilty of heresy. They held an opinion contrary to religious doctrine. These two bishops spoke out against, well, Bloody Mary. They were Protestants and Queen Mary was Catholic, and they were sentenced to be burned at the stake just before the fire was started. Latimer was heard to shout out to Ridley, "Be of good cheer, Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day, by God's grace, light such a fire, a candle in England, as I trust will never be put out." We will be persecuted, insulted, and falsely accused. We are called to Christ to rejoice and be glad because our reward is in the kingdom of heaven. When I was going through that really hard time, my sweet wife wanted to write letters, hold meetings, and give out the what for. Her Italian blood was boiling at the seeming unfairness. She wanted to set the record straight. We had many talks about how God was in this and only God was going to defend the truth. Wow. If you're going through a hard season, if you're being insulted or falsely accused or persecuted for your faith, I can only offer you what the living word offers you. Stand firm, do the right thing, and let suffering produce endurance, endurance produce character, and let character produce hope, because our hope in Christ will never disappoint us. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for your great grace. Come and comfort us during our times of persecution, and let us remember that you are with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.